Do you ever find God asking you a question? I don't mean... is this one on? Oh, it isn't. I don't necessarily mean you hear a voice, but there are times, aren't there, where you know God's asking you a question. He's not particularly expecting an answer, because he actually knows the answer. The whole point, really, he wants you to consider the question because he wants you to have an answer. And that happened to me at some point during the one event last weekend. I heard God say to me very clearly, "Graham, what are you preparing for?" I remember when I heard it. I know it was towards the end of the weekend. I don't know whether I was in a meeting, whether I was walking around the site, whether I was having a meal. I might even have been dreaming. I'm not sure. But I just know that... thank you very much. I just know I heard God say, "Graham, what are you preparing for?" And the question didn't go away. And before long, I knew that after I'd answered it for myself, I needed to be prepared to ask you the same question. In fact, I could see it could even develop into a series of questions. Another way of asking the same question is this: what are you expecting of your future? What are you expecting of the next few weeks, the next few months, next few years, next few decades? What are you expecting to happen in your relationships, in your finances, in your church, in your relationship with God, in your community? Whole raft of questions. What are you preparing for? Because you see, I believe that what you're expecting, to quite an extent, determines what you're preparing for. What are you thinking is going to happen? What are you believing is going to happen? That's what you prepare for. And actually, we have a huge number of choices every day. Not necessarily right and wrong choices, just choices. You're constantly making choices, aren't you? Nick, when he prepared for this morning, he made some choices as to what songs we were going to sing. You all made some choices about what you were going to wear this morning. There'll be a few of you in this room who got dressed and then you changed your minds and you put something else on. There'll be a few. It's choices all the way. They're not right, wrong. They're not moral choices. They're just choices. Has it ever occurred to you that Adam, in the garden, right at the beginning of time, he had this marvellous garden, all these fruit trees, and he could choose from every single one bar one? Unfortunately, he made the wrong choice. And the consequences affected mankind for the rest of the days, except, of course, that Jesus came into the world, died to save you and me. So, that is right. We can forget that bit. That is our good news. Now, why this question, what are you preparing for? Now, I know why God was asking me the question. To be perfectly honest, I think it was probably Monday morning. I was allowing the weight of some of what I have to face in my health terms to get to me a bit. I'd had too many conversations with people, too many asking me questions, and I'd said too much probably. And I'm there praising God and I'm thinking, this is hard work. And then God says to me, "What are you preparing for, Graham?" And as soon as I start to think about what I'm preparing for and start to decide what I'm believing for, the whole picture changes. The whole picture changes. Now, there are all sorts of things one does. I mean, let's be real. We make choices all the time. A few weeks ago, before we went to Israel, actually, Molly and I decided it's about time we rewrote our wills. Because if you'd read the old one, it still appointed Matt and Claire as guardians to look after Paul. Which... now, but just in case you don't know, this is Matt and Claire, and that's Paul. Are you 30? Yeah, okay, so Zoe thinks she can look after him quite well by now, and it's not necessary, but they were still on our bit of paper. But we were making our wills, and we deliberately did it before we flew off to Israel, sort of just in case. It's not wrong, is it? And then, by the way, everybody should make a will. It's not part of my preach, but if you haven't made a will, you should do. Because you're a nuisance to everybody else should anything happen if you haven't got one. Straightforward. Just do it. It's ever so simple and straightforward. Now, I'm not suggesting you're going to die next week. But actually, you haven't got a guarantee. So it's just preparing. But that's not the major thing I want you to be preparing for. Because what God was saying to me, he wants me to prepare to fulfill the call on my life. He wants me to take a look at what he said to me so that the choices that I make, the long-term stuff and the new stuff, shape up according to what he said and what I'm looking forward to. I'm focused on what he said and what he has in store for me. Now, I don't want to point out that God puts all sorts of things before us and some of them we may never fulfill. See, not everything God puts before you, not everything you've got a burden for, not even everything that God says, you'll necessarily fulfill. You know that chapter in Hebrews where there's that long list of, it starts with the definition of faith, and then it says, by faith, Abraham this, by faith, by faith, by faith. Now, the first half of the chapter's great, because they're all people who did great things. You know, Abraham, God told him to go on a journey, he didn't tell him where he was going, Abraham, by faith, went. And we know that as a consequence of that, a whole nation was born. The second half of the list is not quite so encouraging. It mentions a few people who got persecuted. It mentions people being sawn in two. It mentions people, and it actually at the end says nobody actually achieved everything. But listen to this. It says, these were all commended for their faith, yet none of them received what had been promised, since God had planned something better for us, that only together with us would they be made perfect. They were all commended for their faith. The ones who had a good time, the ones where it all worked out well, and the ones where it didn't. So, you know, let's not assume that if everything goes how you think it should do and everything works out well, that means God's blessing you. And if it goes wrong, you've not got enough faith. It's not the case. It's not the case at all. Because there can be, in fact, possibly at times it needs more faith to carry through the tough times than when it's all going well. These were all commended. All commended. Now, just a few little examples. Oh, I had a PowerPoint for this, didn't I? Am I controlling this or are you? Oh, can't see it anyway, can we? There you go. Let me just see where we've got. Yes. There we go. Just going to give you one or two examples. I remember a few years ago, the other one of my sons, just in case you're a visitor, John, he came to Molly and me. Nathan was only, he was less than three. John said that he and Kirsty felt that God was telling them to sell their house, start a business with some of the proceeds and live with someone for a while. I remember asking the question, who's the someone? There wasn't an immediate answer. The eventual answer was us for about 9 months. And we did well, didn't we? We did well. we did really well. But you see, the point up now, for all sorts of reasons, if you looked at that business at that time, you would say, well, it wasn't a massive success. There were some people who really benefited. There were some organisations who benefited and so on. But the truth is, we still don't know what it will achieve, because we do know God, through a prophet, has said John will have five businesses. I wish he hadn't, but he has. And that business is now springing back to life. We just don't know what it'll do. Now, that was how many years ago? Nathan's now, it's about 6 years ago, 5 or 6 years ago. Sometimes these things move on and we cannot work out. Sometimes we just make those big choices and big decisions. Do you know, you'll never guess what happened 48 years ago on this day. One or two people in the room know, because we've told them. I had to be reminded. But 48 years ago, I went for a ride on my bike. I went looking for this young lady. And I found her. She was on a bike, amazingly. It doesn't happen often, but it did on that day. And so began a 48-year-old relationship. And actually, this is probably the one I do usually remember. I didn't today. We probably celebrate this one as much as we do our actual wedding anniversary and so on and so forth. 48 years. We don't look bad on it, do we? Neil. I didn't warn you of this. Where did I put that microphone? Have you got it? Cheers. Neil, just come and talk to me a minute, will you? Now, Neil, how many years ago, how old were you when you had this sense that God might want you to go to Albania?
I was 13.
13. Where were you?
I was at Spring Harvest.
Right. And was there a big appeal or something?
There was... We're in an auditorium and there's some flags going round, and all of a sudden the guy said Albania, and it just, I felt God was saying, you need to start praying for Albania.
13. How old are you now, Neil? To within 5 years, you know, roughly speaking.
37? 36?
It seems stumped out, but it's probably nearly a quarter of a century ago.
Yeah. Yeah. And also that day was the first time I met Lucy.
Is that right?
Yes.
Now, Lucy, do you want to join this conversation? Now, on that day, you noticed him as well, did you?
No, we just found as we were clearing out stuff, we just found, like, one of those books you have when you get married and you're supposed to write all these things in.
Yeah.
And... So I was just, it only had about 3 pages filled in. I wasn't very committed to doing that. And it said, the first time you met, and I put, not a very memorable day, !! Because at that point, when I wrote that, probably a year after we'd been married, I didn't know about this call to Albania.
Right.
I didn't really remember that much about meeting him, but just remembered that. And I said, it wasn't a very memorable day.
Interesting.
And actually, it's the day that's shaped our lives and our children's lives. You're just going to go,
It's interesting, isn't it? Now, so you never said anything about... Oh, did you tell anybody about the Albania thing that day?
No, I did at that age have another girlfriend.
Oh, right, OK. Sorry about that, yeah. Well, that's OK. That's not a problem, is it?
She just asked if it was sunny there, but...
Yeah, OK. So at the age of 13, we are talking 13, yeah. So it's not too serious, you felt God had said to you, start praying about Albania.
Yeah.
Now, when you were 16, were you still praying about Albania, would you say?
Probably not.
Okay. 18? Oh. Yeah, so it didn't all happen on the day you were 13 then. No, okay, right. So when did it pick up again then?
We had somebody come to speak about missions.
When you say we?
The church, we're at Newton Church. Yeah, We'd been married 3 or 4 years.
Yeah, okay.
And we had somebody come and speak about missions. And Lucy said, oh, I've always fancied being a missionary.
Right, okay.
And then I said, oh, I've always wanted to go to Albania.
Right, okay. And what was your reaction to Albania, Lou?
I just went, yeah, I'd love... Anyways, all right, that sounds good.
You weren't fussy.
No, not fussy at all. See, Neil's was very specific, whereas I had a call to many nations.
Okay.
And so I was open for anywhere.
So if we move it on then, and there's a lot of interesting stories, like you thought it was just the two of you, you trained to be a youth worker, and then... you discovered something and three kids came along.
Two came along.
Well, you eventually got three, didn't you? Just when you were about to go to Albania, as I recall. Yes. So when did, would you say it became an issue for you again then, Neil? What do you reckon?
I think because it was at a life group that had started. It might have been even Mosaic. And we just started getting talking. And Simon, a few weeks before, had sort of said, oh, what's happening about Albania?
Right, so we knew about Albania.
Then. We'd talked about it before.
Ah, right.
And we'd been out in 2000.
Yes, of course, yes, you did.
And then we started a family and that kind of delayed us a bit.
Yeah.
But then Simon had mentioned about, what are you thinking about Albania? And then at the same time, somebody was talking in the church and said about Mother Teresa coming from Albania.
Right.
It's sort of got things going, really.
And at this point, you've been there 3 years? Three and a half years. And Jacob and Rachel are coming to join you in a week or so, and you're going back on Tuesday.
I do often really feel bad that...
Go on.
What if I got the call wrong and all these people have gone out to Albania?
Well, you see, I don't
what
think...
What if it was Brazil?
I don't think it matters. I don't think it matters. Because, I mean, I don't think you got the call wrong, but I don't think it matters because you made a choice to respond to God as you heard him. And all those years, you've kept it until the day. From 13 to 2001, a long, long time. And sometimes it was top of your list and sometimes you'd completely forgotten. But you see, you were actually preparing. What were you preparing for? At times you didn't know. You didn't know when you went to train and got your youth training degree. You didn't know when you worked for the church. You didn't know when you were working. You took a major change from what you were doing to start working with young people and did that here. You didn't know. But actually, you were preparing because there was something in your heart that knew where it was going. I think that's exciting, don't you? And you see, now, let's just pick up on the new day thing. Because sometimes we say these new day words and everybody thinks, oh, yeah, come on. You know, it's just the way Christians are. They just like to get excited about a new day. It's not true. I think there is a new day. Now, for some people, that new day will be relatively small. For some people, it could be massive today. There could be some big choices being made. But God keeps saying, God is always moving forward. There's always a new day, and he keeps calling it today. Do you want to say something? You waving at me? Let's just have it recorded, David, if you don't mind, because some people listen to these podcasts in all sorts of places, perhaps even Albania occasionally.
If you just stay there, Lucy, because actually as I was sort of preparing or thinking through this and praying, there were certain people who actually sprung into mind, and you two were one of them in respect to what we talked about at one, and I believe God's calling you to that new day as you go back, and also with Rachel and with Jacob.
Really? Well, let's have Rachel and Jacob out here as well then, shall we? Yeah. Let's really wreck my sermon. It's okay. Don't go away. You can pray in a minute because you've been thinking about this. Come on down here. Just stand behind them if you would, please, because what you're doing, they have blazed a trail, but you are here to actually put your weight behind them. Is really important. We're going to pray. Are you going to pray, David, in light of what you were just saying?
So let's all stand. Let's sort of
please,
direct
our
prayers.
We want you all involved. You know, it is. We are. I mean, these two. I mean, we didn't just accidentally decide we would take a photograph of the church today. We decided we'd take it today because they're here. Because last time we took a photograph of the church, they were here. Sitting on the front row waving, and we thought, great, because they are part of Ashwood Church. And in fact, they keep taking a few extras away with them, which is okay. Please pray, David.
So, Lord, we just thank you that you are able to do all things as we've worshipped, as we've declared this morning. And we just want to pray right now for Lucy and Neil. We want to pray for Rachel and Jacob and the family, Matilda and... Eden and Timmy, and we just pray, Lord, that by your Spirit, as they travel back on Tuesday and as Rachel and Jacob next week, we just pray that as they prepare to do things, that in you, Lord, there will be a new day dawning, there will be lives changed, even more lives changed in your name, and we just pray that right now. Amen.
Amen. Amen. Excellent. I'd like to pray as well. I don't know what David said about New Day, but I feel this is a new day, particularly for you, Neil, right now. I just sense that there's another step up coming, a step up in your, I'm going to use the term leadership, not in a sense of being the boss, but in a sense of taking a lead. Often, Lucy's the one who takes the lead. She's the visionary. She sees the stuff. But I believe that there's a season coming when there's going to be quite a lot of people going to line up behind you for the sake of the extension of the kingdom of God in the area where you're working. And I want to speak a boldness into you. I speak the words of Acts chapter 4 that we were talking about a couple of weeks ago, where when Peter and John came back, having been told thoroughly to stop it, their prayer was, God, make us bold to do it. And I want to encourage you, read that prayer and start praying it. So that, because God's going to show you what he wants you to do, and then he's going to give you the courage to do it. And I think your partnership is so vital and so excellent. And God is blessing every step of the way. And the tough days carry as much blessing as the winning days. And the kindness of God is just as available on the tough days as it is on the winning days. And I believe God's just nudged a couple of people to just come and walk with you for a while. Now, they think it's for your benefit, but actually it's for theirs as well. Because they've made a choice, and when the question is placed to you, Sarah, to you, Jacob, what are you preparing for? Rachel, sorry. What are you preparing for? You're preparing for your future. You're preparing for everything that God's got in store for you. And you prepare by simply serving God's purposes. Jesus said to his disciples after he'd washed feet, he said, do this. What was he saying? He was simply saying, it's your business to serve the world. To serve the world. We're all called to that in all sorts of ways, in all sorts of, and most times it's not recognised as such, but that's what it is. So we just speak blessing on the work across Albania. Now, I actually believe that you're called to the nations, and I'm very happy to be proved wrong, but I believe right now your call to the nations is what you impart to other people who then go to other nations. Now, I'm not saying you won't go to other nations, but that's how I see what you do. You put a spark into people like this, into people who come for a fortnight. And so by that, you are fulfilling your call to the nations. And we just speak the wisdom of God over you so that you know what to do, when to do it, how long for, exactly. Just get in that sense. At the moment, you're just doing what God says. Do today what God says today. That's fine. But actually, you'll begin to get a shape of where it's going, what's happening, and what happens to you thereafter. And you do need to know, as far as we are concerned, a prophet said to us that he was giving us a single nation to be really concerned for. And for quite a period of time, that was France, because Gary and Pam were there. It's now very clearly Albania. God's given us that. And so you are very definitely, as far as we're concerned, Ashwood Church in Albania. And we love that. And some of us have never been, most of us have never been, but actually we feel part of it. When people tell us the stories, and particularly when you're back, it's just like, well, they're part of us. They're part of us. And we bless you abundantly in Jesus' name. Great. Thank you very much. By the way,
Rachel.
Just give me time. I don't move that fast. I'm just thinking about this whole business of what are you preparing for. Do feel free to sit down, folks. When did you have one of these flash calls to do what you're doing, or did it just? Who's got it? Where's it gone? Oh, sorry.
I've always wanted, like when I was training, to be a teacher and stuff, to teach abroad.
Sorry, just come this way a bit.
Different conversations at uni.
It's all right, go on. He's just turning you down. Okay. He's just sorting you.
Okay. Yeah, so I remember having different conversations with people at uni and going to lots of Christian conferences like Grapevine and Soul Survivor and stuff like that. And just having a real heart to serve God wherever he wants me to go. And after spending a year in France teaching there as part of my degree, I've always been keen to get travelling again.
Okay, great. Yeah.
So when this opportunity came, I thought...
You say this opportunity. What do you mean?
The opportunity to teach Timmy and Eden.
Yeah, but who invented it?
Who invented it? God, I hope.
Good, good, good. And Jacob, what about you? Thanks very much, Rachel. What's pointed you on this track? Flashing lights? I'd like to do it.
Well,
I can see myself there.
Yeah, it was more of the I can see myself there. I went to visit for the week, and it just felt really at home.
Okay.
Felt really comfortable.
Did they feel really comfortable with you there?
I think so. Yeah,
jolly good.
I assume so, since they invited me to stay for
the
year.
Well, there you go. Good, good. No.
None at all.
No, none at all. None at all.
So
you're preparing. You're preparing. Okay, that's really great. Thanks ever so much. I'll just get back to what I was saying now, if that's all right. Isn't it good, though, you see? I can skip that one. I've got a good story, but it doesn't matter. Before I go any further, it really is important to recognise that most of life's ordinary. There are some days when we see a miracle, not many. There are some days when we have obvious divine opportunities, divine moments, not many. There are some days when God is very close and we know exactly what he wants us to do. There are other days when we just press on with the ordinary things of life. True? And most days are the ordinary things of life, aren't they? You know, if you were going from one miracle to another, well, how would you cope? And actually, how would the world go on? Because it needs people doing the ordinary things of life. But the question's still true, what are you preparing for? What are you preparing for, even in the ordinary things of life? Let me just read you a few biblical passages. I had some of these printed so you can read them yourself. Just move it on a couple, would you please, Zach? Joshua, I love this verse, I always have. Joshua talking to the people of Israel just before they cross the River Jordan, comes to them and says, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you. Whole nation, wow. Now when you read the story, what did they do? They walked to the edge of a river that, by the way, was still looking remarkably wet. And then the priests stepped into the water carrying the ark, and as they did so, water separates, and God does amazing things. Of course, he didn't stop there. You've got all sorts of things like Jericho. You've got all sorts of problems. But consecrate yourselves. Consecrate yourselves is a bit like saying prepare yourselves, isn't it? Prepare yourselves for what God's going to do. For tomorrow, the Lord will do amazing things among you. So there's an example where every once in a while, God says, tomorrow, big day. Or he whispers something to you, and you know God's given you something big to do. Second one, of course, Matthew, this is Jesus' teaching, what we call the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus said, seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. You'll have to look back to see what all the things are. Then it says, therefore, do not worry about tomorrow, for tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. Very different picture, that. Very different picture. In the ordinary, because Jesus is not just talking about the big high days and holidays. Jesus is talking about your everyday. Seek first his kingdom and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When you are preparing yourself, you are primarily seeking first God's kingdom. That's what it means. Now, that will mean different things to different people. That's your priority. So if you're a teacher, your priority is to make sure that the kids under your care are getting the best possible education, discipline, values, everything you can possibly give with the kingdom of God, the foundation of everything you do. If you are a mum and you've got two kids to look after, seeking first his kingdom means you are giving those children the best care. You are introducing them to the right people. You are adjusting their reactions to things. You can make it as big or as small as you like. It's the same thing. Don't worry about tomorrow, it says, because worry tomorrow will worry about itself. It doesn't say don't prepare for tomorrow. It says don't worry about tomorrow. And I just sensed as I was sitting there thinking, just let me go, because I was bursting with what I felt God was going to do, not just what I say, but what God is doing. I just felt there are some people in this room, and I'm certainly not going to ask you to put your hand up if you're a worrier, but I just have a sense that there are some people in this room who, as you now just respond to what God's saying, you will feel some of that anxiety lift off your shoulders. Just allow God to do it. You have to choose. You have to say, God, I'd like to lose this, please. Because sometimes we keep hold of it because it's one of those things we feel comfortable with. Where would we be if we hadn't got something to worry about, is some people's story. But actually, God says, don't. Don't worry about tomorrow. For tomorrow will worry about itself. Each day has enough trouble of its own. And I just believe that even now, because I've felt, and I don't think it's just me, I've felt a weight of the Spirit of God ever since I came in here this morning. I've not known what to do with myself. And when the worship was, I was thinking, yeah, I'd like a good riot here, but it just didn't seem to feel that way. There was a sense of the way, you might not all have felt it, and don't worry if you didn't, it might just be me, but I just felt there was something, and I still do. There's a weight of God's presence in here. Some of you have a good few reasons to worry about tomorrow. I know that. But God says don't. God says don't. And as you receive something from him, as you are preparing, because what's Jesus said about your future? What's he said? The Bible says God is for you, not against you. The Bible says that he has every best intention for you. Don't always feel that way. God has been incredibly kind to me. And if I were to list the kindnesses, I would not just list all the good stuff. God has just been and is being incredibly kind to me all the time. And I want you to tap into it. I felt he said that to me so that I made sure I stayed there. God said to me, what are you preparing for, Graham? You know, I don't want to be preparing for my funeral. I want to be preparing for everything that God said to me. And I'm going to press on and grab every day. And if there comes a day when it stops, well, it will one day, let's be honest. For all of us. But in the meantime, I'm pressing on. Here's another one. I'll read a little more. This is Deuteronomy. This is chapter 30. This command I'm giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand. And it's not beyond your reach. It's not kept in heaven so distant that you must ask who will go to heaven and bring it down so we can hear it and obey. It's not kept beyond the sea so far away you must ask who will cross the sea to bring it to us so that we can hear it and obey it. No, the message is very close at hand. It is on your lips and in your heart so that you can obey it. It's what the Bible says. It's what Moses said. Now listen, today I am giving you a choice between life and death, between prosperity and disaster. For I command you this day to love the Lord your God, to keep his commands, decrees and regulations by walking in his ways. If you do this, you will live and multiply, and the Lord your God will bless you, and the land you are about to enter and occupy will be blessed too. That's good news. And it said, you hear the first bit that I emphasized? This command I am giving you today is not too difficult for you to understand, and it's not beyond your reach. It isn't, you know. It isn't. When we were talking a couple of weeks ago, we were talking out of Acts chapter 4. You remember Peter and John were in trouble. They'd had a night in prison. They'd been told by the courts, under no circumstances are you to preach and talk in the name of Jesus Christ. Don't want any more miracles. What did they pray when they got back to their mates? God, more miracles, please, and make us bold to speak the word of God. That was their response. That's got to be ours, hasn't it? The focus of our prayers must shift away. This is really important. It's not mine. I've nicked it from a book. The focus of our prayers must shift away from trying to get God to do what we ask, or even asking God what he wants us to do. The focus should be asking him to give us the courage to do what we already know we should do. That's a couple of frames on again. Next one on. Just there's a quotation on there, please. There you go. Focus of our prayers must shift away. Do you realise we are, if we're not careful, we're always trying to say to God, will you please do this because I'd like you to do this. Our prayers often are like that, aren't they? And sometimes, if we're feeling really spiritual, we're saying, God, what do you want me to do right now? Now, I'm not saying that's never right, but actually, we know ever so much of what he wants us to do. He wants us to live in his kingdom. He wants us to be those who deliver his kingdom. He wants us to live a righteous life. He wants us to love the Lord our God with all our hearts and our neighbours as ourselves. So what we do, what we should be doing is, God, please give me the courage to do it. Please give me the courage to love that neighbour who's awkward. Please give me the courage to love that neighbour who I just don't like the look of them, and especially the dog. It's though, you know, we need to be thinking that way. So, what are you preparing for? See, I want to be prepared for every divine opportunity that I come across. I want to make sure that I'm living in obedience to what God has already said. I want to live a life full of the Holy Spirit, whether I'm experiencing ordinary or extraordinary things. Are you in a position where you are preparing for less than your best? Have you accepted a lie from the enemy that limits you, or that doesn't allow you to see that living a life that you know will please God is the thing that will please him? Or are you comparing yourself with someone else who has a different call? We so easily do that. Are you doing your job well? Yes, Graham. Are you bringing up your family well? No, it's not, I hope so. Yes, I am. Now, some people may look at it and say, well, but actually, you know, you are seriously doing your best, aren't you? Are you kind to your neighbours? Are you known as honest? Are you known to be a follower of Jesus? Are you quick to put things right when they go wrong? Are you making the most of every gift God's given you? Investing well? Do you have eyes that are open for God opportunities? Now, you'll have heard some of those questions. You'll think, well, some of the time, Graham. That's my answer, some of the time, Graham. But actually, I just want to encourage us this morning that God is... When we began to pray before the meeting, I just found myself praying, God's for us, not against us. God is for us. I tell you, I caught sight of something. I caught sight of Andy and Jill, who happened to be standing next to in this circle, and I saw them slip their hands into one another. I see these things sometimes. Didn't last long, but I saw it. I saw it. And I thought to myself, do you know what it said to me? I thought to myself, it just feels like God's just slipped his hand into mine right now. Because he loves me that much. And I'd love for some of you to go away. Katie, you need to... There are going to be days when you need to feel that. Now, you see, you've taken one of these divine opportunities. You've seen something and you've said, I'd like to do that. And even when they said, well, we'd rather you did something else, you were a bit stubborn and you said, well, I really wanted to do that. And you're doing it. And the word about worrying is very important to you at the moment. And it will be on the days when you do. But what are you preparing for? And this year is going to prepare you for all sorts of things. Now, there are some people not going anywhere, and that year's preparing them. I'm not doing a comparison job at all. But there's a divine opportunity that will have some divine moments in it. And you need to make sure that every step of the way, you've got this sense, God's got these things for me. Neil, age of 13... Albania. Quarter of a century later, Albania. And in between times, forgotten all sorts of things. It won't all happen tomorrow. And sometimes we will question whether it was a divine moment. There are some that will happen tomorrow. Another quote, if you want to seize your divine moments, you must accept you're on a divine mission. Okay, put this last two are up on that last frame because you won't easily remember them. It's from a book called Seizing Your Divine Moment. But you see, you're all of us, we are all on a divine mission. It's not just people who go to Albania. It's not just people who go overseas. It's not just people who move house. It's not just people who take a cut in pay or whatever, whatever, whatever. There's a calling on every single one of us. We have a divine mission. What is it? To love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, with all your mind and your strength, and love your neighbour as yourself. And work out how that works for you. You may be waiting for a call from God. You just may have missed the fact that he's already called you. Another quote. Sometimes, you know, we're thinking, oh, if only God would call me to such and such and such and such. Actually, the Bible says we're all called and chosen. We're all called and chosen. We're called to be his. We're called to represent him. We're called that the world will know Jesus because you and I are affected by him. It's a new day. Is it massively better than yesterday? No. There'll be another new day tomorrow. But while it's called today, as the Bible says, let's make everything of it. God is so kind to us. God is incredibly kind. You just glance around this room, you can see some great answers to prayer. Iris looking well. Isn't that great? God's answered our prayers. Elaine doing well, I understand. God's answered our prayers. See you soon. Safe journey back to Albania for 4, 5, 6, 7 people. God will answer our prayers. If you want to seize your divine moments, you must accept that you're on a divine mission. Please go home and think to yourself, what are you preparing for? What are you preparing for? Start up here. Start with what God said. Think yourself, God said that to me, so that's what I'm preparing for. God said I can do that. Don't feel like it, but that's what I'm preparing for. And there are a few of you this morning who are thinking, 10 years ago, 20 years ago, maybe even more, you heard God whisper something, and he's just whispered it to you again this morning. For goodness sake, don't wait another 10 years if it's today word. If it's a today word. God's good. God's good. By the way, people who hold hands in prayer meetings, it is allowed. And I just felt I heard God say, it's the three-way love, plus the family, of course, that makes the big difference. And I just sense that he says for you, hold on in there because you're on track for what is said. And I believe in this next coming season, he's going to resurrect in you more and more opportunities to be the gatherers into the kingdom that you primarily are. You are people for whom it matters that other folk discover something about Jesus. And actually, he's going to give you some fresh ways, fresh opportunities. But he's saying, that's what you're preparing for. Start from here, because that's what he said. That's what he said. It's not new. You've known it all your life. But he said, you know, that's the place to start for. Prepare for it, because he's got some good stuff coming. There are some people in this room who, like David, as David was not preparing to lead worship this morning. David was preparing to be a part of worship this morning. And we all do that. And I want to encourage you. We won't necessarily make use and stop the tracks for every prophetic word we hear. But actually, God's speaking to us more than we hear him. And I would be delighted to be faced with the problem of deciding which words to deliver and which words not. Which words to save for another day. Because God is speaking to us. And by the way, Carl, you don't have to have been a Christian for a decade before you hear the word of the Lord. And if God has given you a prophetic call, which I believe he has, then you should expect to hear it, not just for yourself, but for other people. And you know it's true, so I don't need to labour it. There's no age issue either. There's no age issue. It can happen next door. And there's no age issue at either end. I must stop. because Matt's looking at me. Do you know, I'm just excited by God this morning. Oh. 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 Excuse me a minute. I'm excited. Well, I'm just excited. Do you know, I believe we're about to enter one of the toughest times we've had. I believe we're entering a tough time. But I think it's because God's up in the game for us. Because, to be honest, God's expecting more of us than he's getting. I think that's right. That's not a complaint. I just sense God saying, you lot are up for more than this, aren't you? And so, you know, those of you who are saying, well, I'm still waiting for a call, I'm giving you one. Okay? And it's not a new one. But, you know, there are going to be more and more people walking through that door. There are going to be more and more people. Just let you into a little secret. I had a conversation with somebody 2 weeks ago in our meeting who said they wanted to take a step closer to being committed to Jesus, and we prayed together. And there's a baptism coming up, and either at the next one or the one after, I'm pretty certain that person will be getting baptised. But we're going to have more. We're going to have more. We're going to have more. And actually, it's not down to me. In fact, you know, when God said to me, what are you preparing for, Graham? I realised that some of what I'm preparing for is not in this room. Because God keeps giving me other jobs to do in different places. But hey, that's not a problem to you lot, is it? It's a good thing. Because when we're giving away, not just me, but Jacob and Rachel and Neil and Lou and their three kids and so on and so on. We're doing what God wants us to do. I'm going to shut up.